Good afternoon. Welcome to the new session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is Rhett Inbody, and I'll be presiding today, and I'm from Wahoo. On my left is Mike Pirtle, who is from Omaha, and Francie Reedman is on my right, and she is from Gretna. The cases today are being streamed live across the state of Nebraska, and so anything that you say is going to be heard, and it's going to be out, and it's gone. So if there's anything confidential or something that you think is something you really wouldn't want everybody to hear, you might want to either use initials or you might want to restrict what you say. It's also video recorded, and so as well as audio recorded, and as a result, we'll call each case twice. And we do that so we can then find the case easier when we go back to look at it if we need to. With that, the first case this afternoon is Summerhaven Lake Association versus Block. We have a little communication problem here. We've got to get straightened out in just a second. All right, whenever you're ready. But let me announce the case again. Summerhaven Lake Association versus Block.
Getting back to your statement that it's for purposes of uniformity, but if we go and we look at those rules and regulations that the Nebraska Game and Parks have enacted, they are different for each of these different bodies of water that are privately owned. So how's that uniformity?
There's an underlying procedure that allows derogation from the requirement for the process. Decision made by the governing body to the Game and Parks Commission. Application or ordinary trappings associated with the adoption of rules that are subject to enforcement notices given Game and Parks case action. They become the equivalent of a Game and Parks rule. subject to enforcement and by water.
So is it your position that the only four rules and regulations that can be enforced on this body of water are the four that are in the administrative code?
In addition to those specified by the Game and Parks Commission as requiring that, all of the laws concerning use, operation, watercraft, parks, apply to all operational watercraft. Four special rules would be those that would be subject to valid enforcement would be those that are specified and not the Game and Parks
Commission. So, for example, there are for some of these privately owned bodies of water, there are rules such as 200 yards, 200 feet, boats should not follow a skier closer than 200 feet. Because that is not contained in the Nebraska Administrative Code as to Summer Haven, you can,
it would not be,
it wouldn't be okay.
There are particular rules that are adopted because of Fox, as a turning area, because of considerations that are particular to the Game Parks Commission. It's the Game Parks Commission's procedure that allows you to address it. I understand the concern that you have with regard to this particular case as it might bear upon other lakes, bodies of water in the state.
Because in this case, we have an agreement.
We
have an agreement that your client signed.
Client signed on behalf of the corporation.
But if we look at the shareholder agreement, there were two lines for which he could sign on, and he chose to sign on the one that did not indicate that he was signing in a representative capacity.
Any of the documents in other than a representative?
I understand that's his testimony, but when I look at the shareholder agreement, there are two lines that are available for him to sign on. One of them says, Victory Lake Marine Inc. by shareholder, president, blank. The next line just says shareholder, and if I look at the shareholder agreement, they're referring to being a shareholder of Summer Haven, and that's the line that he signed on.
Was addressed and approved as to whether or not there is an intention.
Well, we don't even look at intent if we have an unambiguous contract, and nobody's argued that this is ambiguous.
You would look at the absence of proof of certain intention from the present motion of should have been sustained and further failed, gotten that far as part of the motion. There is a means to avoid the overall conundrum that might be presented with an overly broad decision by this court. Gauged to the particular facts of this case, because an injunction is the remedy which is requested, availability of the remedy of law, the application of the process, to the Game and Parks Commission, failure to pursue that with regard to the species of activity that is particularly governed in this instance, suggests the availability of an alternative remedy that is less significant or onerous than that of injunction. And in equity, availability of that remedy adequate to offset the operation of fairness relief. Failure to pursue that waives the ability to pursue it by alternative propositions of law.
But if we find that the shareholder agreement and the rules and regulations, if we find the rules and regulations are valid and enforceable, one of the means to correct a violation is a 120-day suspension. Okay, and that's what was given to your client here. Before you step aside, I want to ask you one question. What's it mean to have administrative control over the lake? According to the Game and Parks,
administrative control would be the ability to seek, to request the establishment of particular
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Engel. Mr. Thompson. Whenever you're ready.
My name is Tom Thompson. I represent the Appalachian Hispanic Association. Wait, our introductions. Brayden Lake Association. Homeowners Association. Nonprofit. Homes. Homes.
Mr. Thompson, if it's okay for the association to come up with these rules and regulations, then what's the purpose of having the procedure that's set out for the Game and Parks to enact these regulations? You know, the Attorney General has to approve them, the Governor has to approve them. What's the purpose of that procedure if any homeowners association wants to come up with rules and regulations?
Well, the issue in this case is
but if the rules and regulations aren't enforceable, can the agreement be enforceable?
Well, yes, Your Honor, because here we are contract. We have a restricted contract. They enter into this agreement with the association who owns the land. Says you can have a cabin. You have to sign this agreement. You're going to say, you abide by these regulations on the bylaws and the rules and regulations. Both restrictions. This particular case, both sides, is a small lake. That's what the defendant's business is. He sells boats. He wanted to sell bigger boats. He didn't want this to be an enforcement. And so he has a boat that's his pay on sale. Also, pontoon boat before he did that. Small lake, you can have pontoon boats. Sea boats. Safety boats. He undertakes that he's going to challenge these rules and regulations, even though he agreed to abide by them. And the shareholders are there. That there is every stockholder. It's a condition. They get a share of stock. That's in evidence. They get a share of stock. They have to sign a share. Everybody has signed exactly the same. They agree to that. That's a lot. Remember, the board of directors adopted this. He might have voted against it. But he was on the board that adopted it. He knew exactly what it was. They were approved by the share. So here you have an agreement. An agreement of less than a mile square. I think the law on the subject is the party enters into a contract, courts of law should enforce it, unless in terms of that contract. Public policy may be the State Voting Act. I like the State Voting Act. The agreement is in. And they have agreed to how this legacy operates. And there's no public policy violation. Per mile, 55 people. What public policy is violated? If they want to govern this small body of water that can't be reached by anybody, because there are private roads running there, it's private land.
Are these restrictive covenants any different to the restrictive covenants that are in most residential areas? You know, you can't have a shed, that kind of thing. If you build a fence, it has to be of a certain type and material. Is that any different than what you normally run into?
Probably very similar from the standpoint of those types of building type restrictions. Probably not as detailed as you might. But there are those types of things. And then you've got the voting restrictions.
So when one of these 55 cabins gets sold, does the new owner come in and have to sign, or does the stock get transferred to the new owner?
Yes. I have to do the association. I have a file on it. So moves, enter the sale of that stock, and fires a shareholder and sign, approved by the board of directors that this person may become a stockholder. Same procedure. Every person who has a Kevin Law out there has a stock. That's true. That's exactly the same.
If the association wanted these rules and regulations to be enforceable, couldn't they have just followed the procedure that's set out and have the Game and Parks Department establish the, or, you know, provide them to the Game and Parks and have it go through that procedure?
Wouldn't deny that at all. We'll tell you one of the issues that has come up with the Game and Parks. Well, we like to set out rules and regulations and include them. There are no judgments. The Game and Parks system. Not approved very much. Well, fact of the matter is that these 55 people out there that own these cabin lots have the use of this small lake want jetskis. They don't want pontoons operating for you. They don't want big ones. So they use a shuttle to accomplish what that small lake needs. Our position in this case is one to enforce the suspension that. We want this court to say, you suspend the language as well as it says, specify the time. We'd like to have that time in the summer to make sure it's formulated. The other thing that's involved in this case, attorney's fees. I made an agreement when this case came up. Among all the stockholders, the panel is better. Pretty simple matter, an issue like we have. Enforcement of our shareholder agreement. They voting act at conflict. The easy matter is to stipulate those back to the court. To appeal as necessary. If you look at this record, you listen to that oral argument, you will see how frivolous and spacious this is. You read Ron Boss. You think this is enough.
I'm being involved in a lawsuit that ends up in appeal.
That raises legitimate issues. I don't think the issues are legitimate in this case. I need to abide by his agreements. This case is all about. That's what the district judge found. He awarded us a reason. He felt he could only go $5,000. I think that's incorrect. This $5,000 was not based upon an agreement that the defendants can defend it any way they want. Two motions to dismiss that were ridiculous and identical, and we had two hearings on it. Unblocked deposition. Absolutely ridiculous. Our judgment should have been granted in this case. So I've got $12,520 attorney's fees through the time this appeal started. But we're not aware of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson. Does Mr. Engdahl have any time left? Whenever you're ready.
On the topic of vexatiousness, it should be noted by the court that there is absolutely no evidence, contrary to Mr. Thompson's representation, that Mr. Block ever operated a boat longer than that specified, or that he operated a pontoon during periods when they were allegedly restricted to support the suspension. There is testimony concerning activity after the invalid suspension was issued. No testimony, no evidence, and to represent as much today state is improper.
I thought he had admitted the violations at a board meeting or something.
That's never. No evidence. Didn't happen as a factual matter.
The evidence isn't in controversy there on that issue?
There's no evidence that he did. That's uncontroversial. No, there's no evidence that he operated.
There's
the
evidence that there was
not
a
warranted at this point.
The evidence, there's evidence that he had a boat larger
on
than
on the lift.
On the lift.
Yes.
Okay. And then as far as operating the pontoon outside of
no
the time.
To that effect that he operated prior to the suspension outside the period.
What did he self-report?
Self-reported records.
Wasn't his position, those rules are unenforceable and I don't have to follow them?
Position is he's entitled to the benefit of the Nebraska State Boat Act that says local rules are enforceable so long as they're identical to what the statute says. And if you want to make different rules, go to the Game of Parks Commission and get different rules. That's correct. That's the summary of our position.
Despite the shareholder agreement that he signed.
Pardon me?
Despite the shareholder agreement that he signed.
Yes, ma'am.
He would abide by these rules and regs.
Yes, ma'am. Laws of the state of Nebraska, control, yes ma'am.
And there's no showing as to how the boat got to the lift?
None.
But it's sort of the situation where the driver has a car and it ends up in a certain place and he's behind the wheel?
That's what it is alleged, Judge. What's alleged is operation.
He had to have operated to get it to the lift.
Ooh.
Circumstances.
There's no showing that he operated the boat.
There's no evidence he didn't either, is there?
That's not our burden, Judge.
Well, okay. Anything else?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.